Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We are off and running. It is 2 minutes past the hour on this, the sixth day of December 2016. I presume the broadcast is proceeding without issue this time through this evening. Yay. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump in and participate in the madcap merriment that is the multimedia extravaganza of absolute wacky zaniness of The Horn chat room. There, if you go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, and if you click on chat room, and if you pick out a screen name, and if you pick out a password, which all sounds much more complicated than it actually is, you will there be greeted by Anatole, Dwayne, Earther, Hoghead, Jugapunch, Laborman, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space in lovely Northern California today to become Man Cave. You will also be greeted by not quite as long time, somewhat veterate, occasionally fatigable veteran chat room moderator, Texas Betsy. Okay. Thank you, Anatole. Anatole says Lima Charlie in Lorena Stan, which is in Ohio Stan. And Ohio is definitely a Stan state. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and I want to send out special thanks to everyone who made sure that we're starting the program in good shape this evening. Thanks to Peg over in the sandbox. Had a lovely note from Peg. She did have a show on me, and thus made it possible for us to go forward and not sweat the program this evening, which is just flippin' awesome. Peg noted that in yesterday's program, last night's program, she said, I loved hearing Boss Man Wayne discuss the extreme issues unions are facing now, and although there was a glimmer of hope at the end of this read, I was wondering if there's a donation effort for retired people like me, who I am sorry to say was never a union member, but can donate to, as it seems like a seismic amount of work needs to be done by unions at a local level, and money may help them. She directs us to a link at Jacobin Mag, J-A-C-O-B-I-N-M-A-G. Labor Unions Trump Politics Locals is the JacobinMag.com. She also notes, on a funny note, after finishing Sinclair Lewis's novel on fascism, I decided to read something on a lighter note, so I downloaded The Year That Made Hitler. Let's see. 6:05 p.m. Who had 6:05 p.m.? Damn it, Gerald! Uh-huh. Did you catch the little joke? Little joke there? After finishing Sinclair Lewis's novel on fascism, I decided to read something on a lighter note, so I downloaded The Year That Made Hitler. I guess it's a matter of degree, isn't it? something on a lighter note. As a refresher to a part of history I thought I'd never need to revisit again. His fire-breathing extremism and demagoguery at his beer hall putsch struck a deep emotional chord with the uneducated mobs, Sound familiar? But he had a stiletto intellect. Trump, not so much. More like a blunt object. Peg is spending Christmas with her grandkids, and she said, "I look forward to Christmas and reading to our granddaughter, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I wonder if I'll see any treachery in that. Only if they've changed the Grinch from green to orange, which I think if Ted Geisel was still alive would probably happen." Yeah, you know what I mean? And Gerald notes, as usual, I donate my Hitler pool winnings to the Horn, all 53 cents of it. Yay! I'm sorry, I'm not going to start ciphering this early. I just won't. No. And thanks very kindly to our subscribers overnight. Thank you to Kim. And thank you very kindly to Chris in Germany. Thank you to Laurel. Thank you to Sal. And to Kitty in Boston. Thank you very, very much. A reminder, courtesy of Joan in Talibandiana, brand new subscribers between now and the 15th of December get their first month's subscription doubled. So if you subscribe for 10, Joan will make it 20. If you subscribe for 20 the first month, Joan will turn it into 40 for you. It's an excellent incentive to subscribe, and we're still trying to get that first 100, but crossing our fingers. Yeah. So thank you very much to all of our subscribers. If you want to participate, either to just, you know, kick in and help with an evening's fundraising, or if you want to become a subscriber, just go to the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. And there on the first page, it's a PayPal interface, is what it boils down to. But you'll see a little box there that you can check that says make this a recurring monthly donation. Just fill in the put the number in that you want to put in. Hint, Mr. Soros, the number you want to put in has a 1, 3 zeros, and 3 more zeros, and a decimal point. But that's just for you, Mr. Soros. Okay, that's fine. You can leave off a zero. And in fact, I would encourage you to. George, if I may call you George, I don't think Joan will be doubling yours. Just saying. But that's where we are. Anyway, the whole point is to get to the next screen. And that's where you do all your PayPal versus credit card stuff, and that's how we keep all this madness on the air. If you prefer, the United States Postal Service, you may mail checks and money orders made out to the Horn, not Bob Kincaid. Now, you heard from Boss Man Wayne last night. He goes to the mailbox. He's the one who takes the spider-proof gloves. He's the one who has to deal with the possibility of running into the freaking Klan. But the address there is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Let's see. Yesterday, being more in Monday, I started out with the story, just briefly, of the woman in Alberta who killed her 7-year-old son by treating him with oil of oregano and dandelion tea when he got strep throat, or streptococcus infection, I should say. And a note came in from, yea, verily, those parts, courtesy of Lauren. Well, here in northern Alberta, where it's a balmy minus 29 degrees Celsius tonight,
Jesus!
We know that nothing good comes from southern Alberta. Stephen Harper is from there. They have a creationist museum down there. Well, can't you at least take Ken Ham off our hands, Lauren? Also, as Canadians, we know that crazy people drift north. Farther north you go, the more like the American South it becomes. and everyone, even our socialist premier, is agreeing that squeezing every last drop of tar sands out of the ground is the best way to provide jobs. Sigh. And thank you very kindly, Lauren, for your monthly subscription. It is much appreciated. Lauren notes, I don't need any bumper stickers for my persnickety Tesla, so you don't need my address. Okay, I didn't know your Tesla was persnickety. But then again, is there anything that runs on a battery that is... God almighty, any living organism has a right to be persnickety in minus 29 degrees Celsius. Sheesh! Oh, okay, so I'll be shutting up now. I mean, I had to go Krogering for the best of everything today, including the price. And, you know, I've been bragging on this aged Havarti that I found there. Yeah, it's gone. The boss gave me a list, and, you know, it was get coffee, get tea. And she said, but I sure would like it if you'd bring me some of that aged Havarti. And I said, naturally, my queen. And so I strolled over there to where, I mean, there was a stack of it. And it's gone. So I asked over back in the manager of that section, said, oh, well, you know, that was just a one-off. What do you mean a one-off? It was there for 2 months. But once again, Bob's law of supply and demand comes through. If there is a supply of something that I like, or that anyone in my family likes, the universe will demand that wherever that stuff is being purveyed will cease to purvey it. Yeah, I figured it was something hateful. Gerald reminds us that minus 29 degrees Celsius is minus 20.2 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, I mean, that's something that I don't want to be in. Especially before, like, January. God almighty, that's brutal. Poor Alberta. I mean, couldn't those microbes or whatever it is that makes up oil have found some other way to die? Couldn't they have been incinerated or something so that they didn't? Oh, never mind. So anyway, that's, and then upon exiting said Kroger's unpaid product play, unpaid placement, by the way, we don't have any Kroger ads. You can almost hear the wing nuts now. I heard that Bob Kincaid shops at the Kroger. I'm a-telling on him to the Kroger. Don't let Bob Kincaid shop in your Kroger no more, because freedom, huh? Kroger. Good union jobs at Kroger. Not as good as they used to be, but still, they're union jobs. Yeah, so no Havarti. And then when I walked out of the store, damn, sideways needle rain got soaked. Oh, well. Yeah, nasty. So I spent a couple of hours drying out and, you know, hoping not to get all pneumonia-like. Right. Oh, and thanks very kindly to Brock for re-upping his subscription. Thank you very kindly, Brock. And so this evening, you know, we're looking to raise 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, or 32 at 6 and a quarter, or 64 at $3.13. And man, I tell you what, we're going to have an overage from rounding up that half a penny. I mean, that's like 32 cents we're going to come up extra. It'd be $200.32 or something. Whew! So it is, of course, Titanic Tuesday. You may recall that Titanic Tuesday is so named for the Titanic intellect that was on display several years ago over in America's fifth smallest radio market. When Steve took a break from reading the newspaper to his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers and took a call, "Steve, how come you reckon it is there's seashells in the rocks in West Virginia?" We ain't nowhere near the beach. To which, with one of the most marvelous monotones known to humankind, Steve replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates."
Yeah. Titanic plates.
So, still no word, really, on the movement of the Titanic Parmesan salad bowls. Big, loaded table on the Titanic. There's a lot of stuff. Years' worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrate instances of Titanic brain power. Right-wing, Titanic, forward-into-the-iceberg kind of mental processing on evenings such as this. Welcome to the chat room, Barkway. Barkway said, "Hey, I finally made it here sooner than an hour and a half into the show. Yay! We're all happy." Ron and Raleigh. I guess there's no party, eh? No. No, no party. But it was just yesterday, Ron said the frozen north was very definitely frozen. He pointed out that his 20-minute commute took 90 minutes yesterday morning. He said, "My fellow drivers are Canadians in eastern Ontario. They know that it snows here, often in copious amounts, yet the twits I saw in the ditches and making love to the trunk of the car in front of them were almost universally driving on all weather except snow and ice tires. May their insurance companies stick it to them at renewal time and keep them out of my way and off my ass." Well, exactly. But here, it was just rain. By the end of the week, though, we're supposed to be down into the teens, and propane buying season will have officially dawned here. And it won't let up until June. So, Titanic intellects. I mentioned in conversation last night what happened in D.C. on Sunday when Salisbury, North Carolina resident Edgar Madison Welch walked into Comet Ping Pong Pizza. He was carrying his AR-15 Freedom Protector. He pointed his weapon at employees and patrons, took off a running, and then he started just shooting up the place. Now, this was all over a fake news story courtesy of WikiLeaks. Gosh, Julian Assange, thank you so much. That was picked up and run into the ground by who else? Alex Jones. And the nature of the fake news story is that Comet Ping Pong Pizza is home base for a pedophilia conspiracy that involves people close to, come on, we all know this now, Hillary Clinton. I'm sure the Lindbergh baby, as stolen by Hillary Clinton, is somewhere in the basement. It is referred to as Pizzagate, even though, like so many of the things surrounding Hillary Clinton, there's not even an actual scandal. It's just made-up stuff.
meant to titillate the simple and the simply awful. So Think Progress reached out to Comet Ping Pong Pizza and spoke to an employee there who said, "We get 30 to 40 calls a day about this bullshit. There are staff members as young as 19 that work there and have to deal with this. It's real, real sad." Because before this economically anxious Trumpanzee from North Carolina came in with his Freedom Protector, they've been on a sort of heightened level of alert. No, really, thanks, Mr. Assange. Thank you so much. You're such a hero. My God, can you imagine what it must be like to be in bed with Alex Jones? So, weirdos who do things like go to InfoWars and listen to Alex Jones have been wandering periodically into Comet Ping Pong Pizza of late. And they come in and they say, "How long's everybody been working here? What's it like when somebody has, say, a child's birthday party here, huh, punk? So I was looking at your menu. I thought I'd get a bite of lunch. And by the way, are there any tunnels under your building?" No, really, it's been madness. I'm forgetting some details. Thank you, courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. It's a satanic pedophile cult led by John Podesta. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Ron. Details are everything. One clown by the name of Jack Posobiec. There's a joke in there. Yeah, you write it. I'm tired. Who calls himself a citizen investigator. Citizen, I'm investigating you. Tried to go in and do a live stream from inside Comet Ping Pong Pizza. So at this point, prior to Sunday even, the staff at this pizza place kept the back room lit so people can go and be nosy on their own. Meanwhile, Mr. Welch, the Trumpanzee of North Carolina, Salisbury, North Carolina, shot up one employee's locker. He thought there was hidden Pizzagate material inside. God damn! I mean, okay, so during the height of the Cold War, when Dr. Strangelove was released, and subsequent, it remains a classic, we all kind of, I guess, laugh a little bit uneasily, but it's funny, so, when what appears to be the beginning of a nuclear exchange disaster when we find out that the guy who's behind it is seriously 100% knucking futs. And it's a little, it goes like this.
Mandrake.
Yes, Dad?
Have you ever seen a commie drink a glass of water?
Well, yeah, I can't say I have, Jack.
Vodka. That's what they drink, isn't it? Never water.
Well, I believe that's what they drink, Jack, yes.
On no account will a commie ever drink water, and not without good reason.
Yes. I, can't quite see what you're getting at, Jack.
Water. That's what I'm getting at, water. Mandrake? Water is the source of all life. 7/10 of this Earth's surface is water. Why do you realize that 70% of you is water?
Oh, Lord.
And as human beings, you and I need fresh, pure water to replenish our precious bodily fluids.
Yes.
Are you beginning to understand?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Mandrake. Mandrake, have you never wondered why I drink only distilled water or rainwater and only pure grain alcohol?
Well, it did occur to me, Jack, yes.
Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation? Fluoridation of water?
Yes, I have heard of that, Jack, yes. Yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
No. No, I don't know what it is now.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
Come and play a dead game, soldier. That's nice shooting, soldier.
I always love this part. He keeps a, what appears to be a 50 caliber machine gun in a golf bag, because you know sometimes the sometimes you need a 9-iron, sometimes you need a fairway wood, and sometimes you need a machine gun. But I think you get the point. That is at least or was fiction. It isn't anymore. As some of the employees at Comet Ping Pong Pizza said, if this doesn't stop, someone's going to get killed. These people are angry and they think we're raping children, so they feel justified saying anything to us. And as always appears in these sorts of stories, there's the obligatory paragraph in the story where the affected people say, look, we've begged Facebook to take this down. It's not true. It's a goddamn lie. And it's going to get somebody killed. But, of course, Facebook won't take it down. They won't shut down the numerous Pizzagate groups. We can't get it down. They're accepting no responsibility for this crap. The blood will be on their hands. Something already did happen. It was inevitable in my mind. And they've got more than a little bit to be worried about. It's not just what happened yesterday when one lone trumpansy armed to the teeth came in to citizen journalist investigate. And interrogated a locker with, you know, bullets. Don't talk, will you? Huh? What they're really worried about is what happens next month when Washington, D.C., for 2 or 3 days, is wall-to-wall with angry, ignorant, bigoted, racist, deeply, wildly, frighteningly paranoid trumpansies. Thousands of them. Tens of thousands of them. And a significant portion of them are going to try to go to Comet Ping Pong Pizza and find out where that Hillary Clinton chief number one top dog advisor John Podesta was a raping of the children. I mean, for God's sakes. The guy that Benito Cheeto has tapped to be his national security advisor, Michael Flynn, well, his son recently tweeted, Until Pizzagate is proven to be false, it'll remain a story. The left seems to forget Podesta emails and the many coincidences are in scare quotes, tied to it. Then he retweeted personal messages that Jake Tapper of Chicken Noodle News sent to him, begging him to stop advancing Pizzagate. Jake Tapper wrote to him and said, "I have the highest regard for your father and have only treated him in that manner, and I have respect for you as well, but I'm mystified as to why you're pushing this theory, especially after the incident today that could have ended with bloodshed. Your response has been to attack me and to try to insult me personally. None of it hurts my feelings. I don't care." And then he went so far as to retweet Jesus, I feel so juvenile talking about tweeting and retweeting. Oh, that's part of the language. Retweeting an allegation that the Comet Ping Pong Pizza attack was a false flag. And, of course, Michael Flynn's daddy, Michael Flynn, also tweets conspiracy theories. Alleging that Hillary Clinton was involved in a child sex scandal that has to do with Anthony Weiner. God damn. So, despite the fact that the owner of Comet Ping Pong Pizza, James Alefantis, released a statement saying what happened today demonstrates that promoting false and reckless conspiracy theories comes with consequences. I hope that those involved in fanning these flames will take a moment to contemplate what happened here today and stop promoting these falsehoods right away. It's not going to happen. Because these freaks do not traffic in facts. And, of course, now there's a great uproar, and the for-profit media are all having fits. Over Pizzagate. I mean, for pity's sakes, hold on here. You know, as Arnold notes, most of these fucking people I meet there voted for are scared of everything, because everything is a conspiracy involving who else? Well, you know, Hillary, because she's evil, and for all that our friend Jules pointed out that she thinks that there are Trumpansies out there who just, you know, didn't hear anything, any of the negative stuff, and somehow thought that Trump was just a change agent, I can't buy into that theory. Because it's pretty obvious that a shit ton of them knew about Pizzagate. So they got all kinds of fake bullshit about Hillary Clinton, but they somehow didn't manage to hear any of the true stuff about Trump. See, that militates against statistical reality. what it is that they wanted to believe. They wanted to believe the stuff about Hillary. Because they'd been primed to over the years by the likes of, say, Alex Jones. Yeah, to the same extent, as Ron points out from the far frozen north, to the same extent that we can play a clip of from Dr. Strangelove and that nervous little moment when you understand, don't you, Mandrake? yes, said that sort of little nervous chuckle. Yes, I understand. Well, it's kind of the same way where Ron just simply typed, "They're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away." Only the problem is no one's coming to take them away. They're here. They've got guns for days. And they won't back away from this evil shit. I mean, I think that if they could, they would rip Hillary Clinton limb from limb. Like a troop of wild rabid baboons. Although technically it's the orangutans who are orange. They know. I mean, consider. Okay, so this is from Chicken Noodle News too. There's an aggrieved white privileged young woman over there by the name of Kaylee McEnany. And she's not quite as aggrieved as aggrieved Miss White Privilege 2016 Tommy Lauren over at The Blaze. But they won't even... They won't even admit that any of this thing is anything other than normal. Kaylee, okay, let's go to the clip, shall we? Now, this is Chicken Noodle News. This isn't Fox.
Brian Seltzer is with me now, along with Kaylee McEnany, a conservative columnist, and Nayara Hawk, the former White House senior director under President Obama. Brian, let me just start with you, because that man right there, I mean, that...
Oh, give me a minute. We'll have this in a second. This is so frustrating. I mean, this kind of flies, it comes in on the heels of the there's no such thing as facts argument presented last week. All right, damn it. You're going to cooperate. God only knows. All right, let's try this again. Once more. Na 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 na. Jesus. Well, you gonna or you not gonna?
Brian Stelter is with me now, along with Kayleigh McEnany, a conservative columnist, and Nayara Haq, the former White House senior director under President Obama. Brian, let me just start with you, because that man right there, I mean, that, it's just take a step to think about what he just said.
Yeah.
The guy who went in with the gun, right, and discharged it, he said that he went in because of the story,
yes.
This fake story.
Right.
That guy there that we just heard said that's completely made up. What is it? The gunman was an actor? I mean, what is this?
These Pizzagate believers, some of them today, say this was all a hoax. This incident, this real life incident at the pizza shop was all made up trying to cover up the real conspiracy. You know, those people are not going to believe this report. Hopefully, the vast majority of people still on planet Earth can deal with the truth.
I mean, here's the stunning thing, Kayleigh. Michael Flynn Jr.
Yeah, that's cute and everything. But the people who refuse to be disabused of Pizzagate also have a shit ton of guns. And so it doesn't matter if normal, not mentally ill people understand that it's a bunch, it's a load of pernicious bullshit. It's the fact that there are loopy people, again, not to put too fine a point on it, who have guns, will persist in their belief. I mean, there was another thing that I saw last night on CNN that was absolutely just kind of mind-boggling. It was Van Jones goes on the road to talk to Trumpanzees. No, they don't. They don't call them Trumpanzees, because of course the Trumpanzees would threaten to murder them or something. And in this case, they went to some rural county in Ohio, and he found a union household of Democrats who voted for Trump. A mostly silent wife and mother, and her anything but silent husband and their three sons. Da na 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 na. Never mind, nobody knows that theme song anymore. Who then explained that they the man of the house, a union member, explained that he had voted for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012, and how Barack Obama didn't deliver on his promises. Apparently, Cletus didn't understand that Barack Obama had to contend with a buggy-eyed banjo-playing the teabagger Congress for most of his entire term in office. And I guess he thinks that the president is just some sort of Kenyan wizard who can wave his Kenyan magic wand and make things suddenly happen devoid of any action by Congress. Remember, this is Titanic Tuesday, right? And when Van Jones just kind of sat there looking gobsmacked and dumbfounded. I mean, he didn't go to one of those MAGA homes of, you know, some wild ass white wing family. Then they would have just killed him on sight because they're Trumpanzees. No, instead he went to a Quisling Democrat family's house. Again, a union member who had voted, you know, to screw not only himself, but his own union brothers and sisters. And they explained well, we voted for change with Barack Obama, and when that change didn't come, we voted for change again with Trump. And then something happened. Then the little woman spoke for a moment, and she said, well, I didn't vote for either of them. I found them both to just be morally repugnant. Huh, morally repugnant. Okay. And Daddy spoke up and said, I mean, when she wiped her server the minute she got a subpoena and acid washed it or whatever. This dumbass doesn't know acid washed computer parts from acid washed blue jeans, okay? You don't hear that she had acid washed anything unless you're paying attention to right-wing news sources. And unless you are not only willing but anxious to believe anything that they pump out about her. Hillary Clinton stepped on a kitten this week. We think she says it was accidental. But what about Benghazi? And you just realize that, and this was why I predicted Hillary Clinton's loss, that 25 years of pure filth, the vast majority of which wasn't even located in the world of facts, would ultimately have their impact. Marty, with just a quick comment, acid wash a computer hard drive? Wow. No, I mean, that's the phrase he used. She acid washed her hard drive! And Mama proved that, yes, they had heard grab 'em by the pussy. Yes, they had heard the tawdry things about Trump, but they voted for him anyway. There's interview after interview after interview out there. Where people say, well, what about grabbing by the pussy? Well, I'm not so worried about that. That's just locker room talk. He's going to make America great again. Okay, so here's the part of the chicken noodle news bit with aggrieved. Miss Aggrieved White Privilege 2016 first runner up Kaylee McEnany. Now we're talking about the ping pong pizza story. Talking about Pizzagate. And things that people who just need reasons to hate Hillary Clinton will believe. And this.
Vice Jr., that's the new national security, or the nominated national security advisor's son, tweeted on Sunday, I'll read his tweet, until Pizzagate proven to be false, it'll remain a story. The left seems to forget Podesta emails and the many, quote, coincidences tied to it. That's pretty stunning, okay? I mean, this story is a lie. It is wrong. How could someone like that come out and tweet this, that this could possibly be true?
Look, I don't think Flynn's son should be tweeting this. He should take down the tweet. But I do want to emphasize this is 2 degrees removed from Donald Trump. This is the son of the national security advisor. This didn't come from Michael Flynn himself. It likewise did not come from Donald Trump.
No, Michael Flynn tweets about the Hillary Clinton sex scandal, child pedophilia ring associated with Anthony Weiner. And then, of course, there was Donald Trump himself, who tweeted out, you know, Star of David iconography associated with Hillary. Yeah, she's in the pocket of the Jew bankers. you know, we've been to this movie before. It, you know, 80 years or so ago. 85. There were people who flocked to the polls to vote for someone else, and yet, 10 years later, I did not vote for him. I had no idea what his plans or policies were. It must have been someone else. Robert in Australia points out, clean your hard drive. There's a video on YouTube that explains in great detail how to take your hard drive apart and wash the platters in soap water and how to dry it. Some claim about bringing a dead drive back to life or making your drive go faster or something. I don't know if anyone fell for it or not, but it's up there, so I'm sure some people did. The stupid is everywhere. Mm-hmm. She acid washed her hard drive. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of thing you get out of right-wing talk radio. People are plugged in. They knew. They didn't care. Because half of Trump voters, maybe two-thirds, we went through this, are racists, misogynists, bigots, homophobes, neo-Nazis. Neo-Nazi sympathizers, Klansmen, Klan sympathizers. And that's why America is in a fascist nightmare.
I do think this pizza restaurant has a good lawsuit on their hands, but I really do want to emphasize now, though, the extreme fringe right wing has nothing to do with mainstream right wing. Just
bullshit! Great big giant hallelujah choruses by the moron Tabernacle Choir. Bullshit! Steve Bannon and Milo Yiannopoulos say it themselves. Half, if not more, of the Republican base are alt-right. And you want the easy proof on this? Now, she just said that the wild-eyed fringe right wing has nothing to do with the mainstream right wing. Well, what exactly were the words? Let's get that again.
On the tweet, but I do want to emphasize this is 2 degrees removed from Donald Trump. This is the son of the national security advisor. This didn't come from Michael Flynn himself. It likewise did not come from Donald Trump. I do think this pizza restaurant has a good lawsuit on their hands, but I really do want to emphasize now, though, the extreme fringe right wing has nothing to do with mainstream right wing.
See, that's the thing. If you're right wing, you're not mainstream. There's no such thing as mainstream right wing. To be fair, there's no such thing as mainstream left wing. That's why they're on the that's why they're on that continuum that runs between left and right. And if you want to prove this woman to be the fool that she is, it's simple. Fringe right wing has nothing to do with mainstream right wing. Okay. Kaylee. Let's draw a Venn diagram. We'll draw one circle and we'll call it fringe right wing. And then we'll draw another circle and we'll call it right wing. And it's going to be in a universe called people who voted for Trump. And guess what? They're the same circles. They're circles within circles. Just because you say it, Kaylee, don't mean it's true. Oh, and by the way, thank you for the legal advice there, Perry fucking Mason. Oh, I think this pizza joint has a good lawsuit on their hands. What? Against Epaminondas Cletus Welch of Salisbury, North Carolina. What are you going to do? Sue him for his goddamn gun? Because if you sue, say, Alex Jones, Well, he's going to hide behind the lace doily of the lace petticoats of the First Amendment.
I couldn't possibly have reasonably foreseen that some crazy gunned-up goober would listen to the obvious bullshit that I purvey over the radio every day and think it was actually true. You can't get judgment against me.
And guess what the law of the United States says? You're right! Go! Broadcast! See if Julian Assange will maybe provide you some other new loony pile of horse shit generated in the bowels of the Russian security services.
Okay, can do. Fluoride, Mandrake, fluoride.
It's like the 9/11 truthers. They didn't really have anything to do with the mainstream left wing. So this is a fringe element of the right, just like we have a fringe element of the left.
Okay, so you make a fair point there.
Okay, so I'm not even sure that 9/11 truth falls into the realm of left wing. Because after all,
Alex Jones is a 9/11 truther, too.
He's a birther, a deather, a bagger, a bircher, a booger eater. I mean, he's King Boob. But there's a difference. I don't recall any 9/11 truthers carrying semi-automatic military-style rifles into pizza joints. You? Because I don't. As Steve points out, this is why we have to take a lesson from the Frank Luntz playbook and conflate every right wing. Yeah, and if defense number one doesn't work for Alex Jones, then as Arthur points out,
I'm just doing entertainment. I'm only an entertainer. False flag, false flag.
That's always there. Like when Flush Flimball got caught telling a caller to call him back when he got the bone out of his nose and he was taking a tan. He said, "My friends, I'm only an entertainer. No one takes me seriously. Give me another pill." Yeah, but back to Kaylee.
But there's this one problem. Sorry, Nayara. Michael Flynn Jr. is, yes, just his father's son, except for not just. He is also his father's chief of staff. He's his top aide. Sorry. He's a government transition email. He is involved. General Flynn himself tweeted back on November 2nd, "You decide. NYPD blows whistle on new Hillary emails, money laundering, sex crimes with children. Must read." What do you say?
Well, this is what you end up having when you start creating a culture and people who are in leadership positions with large bullhorns and millions of Twitter followers start saying things like the mainstream media is terrible. You can't believe anything you hear on TV or read in newspapers. People start to look for alternative sources of information that, frankly, aren't backed up by any investigative reporting or any of the principles of ethical journalism. So this is, in that sense, directly connected to some of the Donald Trump and the conspiracy theorists that have surrounded him. I mean, the new White House senior advisor is going to be Steve Bannon, and Breitbart is also part of the alt-right movement. And these conspiracy theories are often featured on that website. And speaking of General Flynn, I understand, I mean, his son has a transition account. That's an official government account, so certainly he should be held accountable. But with the National Security Advisor actually tweeting these types of conspiracy theories, it leads to questioning his judgment and whether or not it was a joke. It should be made clear if he thought it was a joke. But people take this, and when people in power say things on Twitter accounts, it gets taken very seriously. So we certainly need to be holding our leaders accountable.
Kaylee, does it concern you?
Aaron, I do think it's...
Go ahead.
Aaron, I do think it's important, though, that Mike Flynn Sr. was actually tweeting about something entirely different. It wasn't Pizzagate.
It was entirely different, except that it wasn't, because he was tweeting about Hillary being involved in a child sex ring scandal. You know, just like Pizzagate.
It was another child sex ring scandal conspiracy theory.
It was part of a larger web.
But it was not... But hold on, Nayara, let me point out, though, he was suggesting actually had some basis in truth. There's a man named Jeffrey Epstein who was convicted of child pornography. Bill Clinton took several flights with this individual, and there were some real questions as to why these flights were not on the books, what happened on these flights.
Are we really going to do this? Are we really going to go down these fake rabbit holes?
They are two separate things.
Again, trying to parse all of this information about this connection with that connection, this is exactly how conspiracies start, and this is exactly the type of logic and reasoning that we need to all be working against and start working with facts. I mean, this is a post-fact universe that we're working in.
Kaylee, should Trump, though, bear some responsibility himself to say, enough, I don't believe, even in private, to tell these people, stop with this, I don't want to see a tweet like this, I don't want to see these things, they're lies and they're hateful. Doesn't he bear some of that responsibility when some of this is coming from people who are in his inner
Absolutely not. We are entering into a universe in which the president bears no responsibility for nothing. Because there aren't any facts. I mean, here's one of those non-facts right here, right now. I wish we would stop hanging the word gate on the tail end of everything. Pizza gate. Because it's a way of minimizing the manifest evil that was done in the Nixon administration. I mean, Pizzagate is a bullshit story. So, you know, therefore, so was Watergate, which is a real place. Yeah. And now, as Kelly points out, the pizza gators have decided it's time to boycott Amazon.com. Why? Because Jeff Bezos. Because Washington Post. Force Bezos to print the truth. Force Amazon sellers to put pressure on him. We know how effective boycott is through the BDS movement. We can do this. Do it for the children. Make this go viral. Oh, for fuck's sake. Dave in South Carolina Stan notes, Bob, these folks don't need acid for their feeble heads. So beyond bizarre into purple crayon between naked toes standing on one's head and scrawling buzzwords on a white padded wall. But, I mean, here's some more of those non-facts. Benito Cheeto claims that the cost of a new Air Force One will be $4 billion. $4 billion. Here's the interesting thing, though. Boeing, on the other hand, announced that they've got a $170 million contract to do studies to see what sort of upgrades would go into a new Air Force One. That's a lot of change. But it ain't $4 billion. And Trump said today that he wants the government to cancel the contract for the new Air Force One. So he can have what? A refurbished Russian Aeroflot jet? Maybe one of his creditors over there has an excellent deal for you. Very cheap. We'll knock off 0.1% on the interest rate on your loans with us, Donald. Boeing doesn't even have the production contract yet. But Donald Trump says they do. And so if the president says it, it can't be a lie. Or if the incoming president says it, it can't be a lie. Because, right? Right. Gerald pointing out, because we know how effective right-wing boycotts are. They aren't. Boycott Hamilton! Hamilton declared the highest profit in its run thus far of $3.3 million. But it goes on like this. Let's see. Some economic anxiety. Economic anxiety broke out in Roseville, Michigan. Roseville School Board Vice President Alfredo Francesconi, it turns out, likes to put racist stuff on his personal Facebook page. He described all Muslims as terrorists. He said black Americans should be ashamed for not voting in the 2016 election. Oh. So the community there is rather upset. Meanwhile, he said the Francesconi said, "Oh no, my tweets aren't offensive." Among other things, one of his tweets said, "No, I'm not going to kill the gays, make slavery legal, and take away women's rights. I'm not a Muslim." So residents of Rosedale, Michigan, are calling on him to resign. Let's see. Here's something from his page. "President Obama recognizes boy who made a clock that looked like a bomb. Too busy to recognize a hero cop who stopped a terrorist rampage. Democrats haven't been this upset since Republicans took away their slaves." Yeah. Right. Then it goes on like that. There's some new economic anxiety every day. The Trump pansies will attack anything, anywhere, anyhow. They're like little nasty little orange velociraptors. Jennifer Jones, daughter Sullivan, watched the political campaign and became impressed and inspired at the tender age of 4 years by Hillary Clinton. Little Sullivan was the one who showed up in pearls and a blazer, American flag sneakers, and had a little plush bag that read "Senator's Briefcase" on the side of it. Because, well, children. And then the Trumpansies got hold of it. 200,000 followers on Facebook of a page called Men for Donald Trump got hold of it and turned the image into a meme. Used the little girl's photo and put a banner on it that said, "I am for women's rights." And then on the other lower end of the photo, they inserted text saying, "Hillary Clinton takes money from countries that would mutilate this girl's genitals, marry her to a Muslim pedophile, and stone her to death if she doesn't wear a bed sheet." No, Trumpansies, you're the assholes who wear the bed sheets. All right, I'm going to try to take it easy. Dogman warning me, you might be on fire if you don't slow down. If you don't slow down, you might be subject to spontaneous combustion. Boeing is an orange shakedown situation. Everything is a shakedown situation, Dogman. Little Sullivan's mama said, I felt incredibly helpless because I've always heard that things, that once things are on the internet, that they're there forever and there's nothing you can do. But I was determined, even if it was just me alone, to get it removed. Fortunately, I had friends and family who stepped in to help. And the sleazy little meme was, in fact, deleted. It was taken down. And that's a little victory. But they're few and far between. Damn. Because see, the Trumpansies, there's nothing that is sacred. There's no one that they will not slime. There's no one that they will not sleaze. There's no one that they will not attack. Yeah. So it's 12 minutes past the hour. I want to thank Don in PA for re-upping his subscription. He said, I finally got my credit card snafu fixed. You wouldn't believe what I had to go through. It apparently was PayPal quibbling over whether or not there was a space between two letters. He said, what an effing headache, but I'm still hanging in for the Horn family. So count me in for being one of the original first 100. So Don in West Tennistan. Thank you, Don. Thank you very kindly. David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out the Trumpansies are also after Netflix. Oh, God only knows why. Trump airplaning. John says, what Trump wants to do is continue to charge Secret Service ticket fees for flying on his jet. Jesus, I wish that was a joke. Ron in Canada says, I would imagine that at least once a week, the pencil neck geeks and computer squints meet in a bar somewhere in Russia where they have vodka on tap and compare notes with their comrades on their exploits and marvel at how easy it is to get the U.S. media and political class to start flying in ever-tightening circles. Scott and his faithful feathered Indian companion, Punky the Cockatiel, says, I'm not sure having Aeroflot build the new Air Force One is such a nifty idea. Recall the case of the U.S. Embassy in then Soviet Union? Local construction people built it, complete with listening devices built right into the structure. Given the technological advances since the 1980s, a Russian-built Air Force One would be a nightmare. Listening devices are just part of it. Another concern would be faulty operational software that could be used to trigger a remotely caused operational malfunction. Of course, on the other hand, if it crashes, it crashes. If it corkscrews in, it corkscrews in. And, of course, you know, Donald Trump wouldn't have any problem with Russians listening in on Air Force One. Shit, he owes them his soul. He'll tell them anything they want. The man's a goddamn quisling, okay? Two nights in a row with the word quisling used. Hey, so as it works out, we got about $180 in fundraising to go yet. One at 180, two at 90, four at 45. 8 at 2250, 16 at 11 and a quarter, and after that my head hurts. But at any rate, hopefully we will knock that down, and right now we will go over and check in with our buddy the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man was gonna.
Well, sorry, I had to wait. I had to knock out a couple of those extras there. I mean, goddamn, there's only so much crazy you can.
Oh, yeah. No problemo. Yeah, fake news. I mean, what? People are just starting to realize that fake news is a fucking problem?
Well, I guess.
Black people have been dealing with fake news as long as we've been in the country, you know, so.
Oh, you mean about how, you know, if, where the white women at and, mm-hmm. and yeah, the, right, the coming race war and.
You, Hey, anything. I mean, I had to sit through, my wife and I were visiting some people, and they were watching this capitalist reality show, Shark Tank. And, you know, black man comes up. He has an idea for fresh pet food, somewhere like plated, you know. It has to be cooked by a real fucking culinary person, quote-unquote expert chef, blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, ship it to you so you don't have to do anything other than reheat it. But it's not fast food, so you're paying about $6 to $7, $11 more for this crapola. So he came up with the same thing for pets. No preservatives, no nothing. They actually cook the meat and they add vegetables and this, you know, all of this shit. And, you know, they all turned it down. But it was just very condescending on how they turned it down. And then one of them flat out said, well, you know, you're a black kid and you came out of, you know, Miami and you had to put up with all this, you know, animosity and you know, I'm sure your mother had a hard time. You're a single child. And, you know, basically said, I know that you stole, but I know you had to do it to eat. I know you probably robbed people, but I know you probably had to do it for the money. And I know you probably stabbed and shot a couple of motherfuckers, but you had to do it. And you probably raped somebody, but you had to do it. And, you know, I'm this white liberal and I got a lot of money and I would like to give it to you, but I'm really not going to fucking give you any because I got a competing business. But he had to lay all this other bullshit onto it. See, that's fake news. You know, the idea that Trump has put out there that black America is just completely fucked up. There's nobody with goddamn living in cul-de-sacs and shit. There's no mansions out there, you know, owned by black folks. You know, there's no fucking high-end goddamn real estate. We're all living in the fucking ghetto. I mean,
well, I mean there is one, you know, Jay-Z. Yeah. But
well,
that's all.
Jay-Z is somebody out there trying to make fucking money. And when the Occupy shit was going on, he put out T-shirts talking about Occupy All Streets. It was only out there for about 3 days because he was trying to cop and make some fucking money off of this shit. And then you got Kanye West who puts out a bland green over version of the fucking Confederate flag, claims that he's going to take it from them. And a whole bunch of other bullshit, you know, black skinhead, all this type of shit. And now he's in a fucking psychiatric goddamn unit because the racism fucking got to his ass. Right?
Well, I mean, you know, okay, so not that I go in for celebrity gossip or anything, Angry. But what the hell did happen to him? I mean,
I have no fucking idea.
I mean, nobody was hollering psychiatric ward when he was you know, doing the shenanigans at the Grammys and whatnot and running up on stage and carrying on and saying he's going to run for president in 2020 and all that stuff. And, you know, embarrassing himself with his crazy lust for Beyonce. But suddenly, yet now he's in a lockdown unit. Is he, I mean, what the hell was that?
Well, I think, again, I'm not saying that fucking because there's a whole lot of hoteps slash they want to consider themselves Afrocentrists. I don't consider them Afrocentrists, but a whole lot of, you know, black fascists out there to say the same thing that Scientology says, which has a lot to do with why the Nation of Islam hooked up with Scientology, that psychiatry is a false science and that, you know, black people, just like AIDS, right, you know, supposedly we're immune for mental illness. Now, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Kanye West. Kanye West is bizarre, like, as my wife pointed out, and my producer, you know, that a whole lot of fucking black people are acting really, really strange. And the more we've become assimilated and the more we've worked to become assimilated, and anybody who's a regular listener to my goddamn show knows I've talked about this, you know, trying to fucking live with white people and equate yourself with attitudes like the people who voted for Trump. And I'm not just talking about the ones that are out here yelling nigger and spick and what have you. I'm just talking about the average white person who doesn't understand what it is with black people that we're not there. You know, it's not that we're not normal. You know, we're just not there. You know, we fought in the Revolutionary War, fucking, you know, 1876. You know, we were always there. World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all this bullshit, Iraq, Afghanistan. For some reason, you know, no amount of motherfucking education, the fact that seven black women helped NASA get to the moon, you know, none of that shit matters. We're somehow just not, we're not goddamn there. And that shit, you know, makes a lot of us fucking insane, because we're in positions where we gotta fucking work with these folks. We're trying to get along with people. We're trying to socially acclimate. And in terms of what I'm looking at, and I'm saying this as a fucking Tom, I've never lied about that. I've never lied about that. I'm a fucking Tom, and I've been in the simulations, and I know what the fucking mindset is. That's why when I looked at Obama, I knew what the fuck he was going to be going through in his mind, having to put up with this kind of goddamn racism, because no matter what you do, you're not good enough. And Kanye West seems to be the same thing. You know, he went and married this woman, because I've been accused of this. Well, you married an Arab, so, you know, you didn't really want a black woman, so you went halfway. Because if you got a white woman, you would catch heat. So you went and got an Arab, right? You know, because a lot of us who have been hanging out with African men, you know, the way white people looked at here on the pedestal, well, that's the way Arabs are looked at in Africa. So a lot of people have crossed, a lot of black men with money have crossed over that way. They start looking at Arab women, start chasing women and shit, you know, from the Arab world. So he did that. And I believe that he consciously did that. And he's been going out of his way to basically, you know, get white people to like him. And then he's had these freakouts where he fucking has this little yellow-haired white girl on stage looking scared while he takes the mic from her and acts like a complete fucking moron, you know. I mean, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Like I said, my wife and I were watching Love and Hip Hop. We were watching fucking Shark Tank. And we're looking at black people. And we're seeing black people try to make it. And no matter what you do, it's not good enough. And then at the same time, that Love and Hip Hop shit is fucking crazy, because these cats have pink hair and purple hair, the same sort of thing that they would have beat up somebody on the street for about, you know, fucking 8, 12 years ago. Now they're doing this. The women all have goddamn cosmetic fucking surgery. All they can talk about is, I got no beef with this one. And this is 24 fucking hours a day, 7 days a fucking week, what they're talking about. The black community is completely fucking wrecked, is what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, you do have fucking black folks with money. You do have black people who have their shit together. But they're busy trying to fucking survive. They're not trying to help any goddamn buddy. And someone like Kanye West comes in the middle of this shit. You know, there was a period when Dave Chappelle disappeared. You remember that?
Yeah, because, and he sort of backhandedly referenced it in his monologue on CNN a couple of weeks ago. On Saturday Night Live. I don't know why I said CNN. But it didn't make a lot of sense, but he also said that he had to rethink everything.
Yeah. He had to leave the country. He went to South Africa, because this is what I'm getting from the black community, the black press, and the black word of mouth, the grapevine, that he was so flipped out over everything that I just broke down to you. The same position that Kanye West is in, same position that the Obama's in, the same position that Jesse Williams and Colin Kaepernick in. Because look at the fucking heat that they got. They're out here fucking trying to do something positive, and other black people are coming out and them saying that they're not black enough. Because they don't act black enough. They're not dark enough. They don't have the fucking features and all this kind of shit. You know, this is what is driving Kanye fucking West crazy, because he's trying to fucking walk that fine line. You gotta remember, Kanye West is like me. He came from home. He had training. He had a mother that gave a fuck about him. I had lunch and shit and tea with my mother. You understand what I'm saying? I had a clean house. We did laundry. My fucking house was dust-free. He and I came up from upbringing. So we're trying to fucking figure out how we can keep this house, keep this fucking money, not have black people hate on us, and be able to get along with white people. And I'm telling you personally, that shit drives you fucking crazy. And I've been looking at him in the goddamn news, and he's been trying to acclimate, and it's making him fucking insane. We just had somebody who's been trying to play gangster. What is his name? Because I don't know these motherfucking rappers' names. But he's got tattoos all over his face. He's got fucking dreadlocks and shit. You know, he did time for getting caught with a fucking gun in an airline. Whatever it is, whoever it is. He claims that I don't support Black Lives Matter. How the fuck can you look the way you do? Claim, oh, Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Just tell me, it's Lil Wayne. How the fuck can you talk the shit that you fucking talk and then say I'm not down with Black Lives Matter? Like I said, you know, I've said it on your show before. Ice-T talked a whole lot of shit. Had a fucking cut out there called Cop Killer. And yeah, I wasn't cool about it at the time because I'm like, you know, that doesn't sound like the smartest goddamn thing to do for a fucking song. But he did that. Now he's playing cops on TV. Ice Cube, all of these motherfuckers are squared up after talking that bullshit. Ice Cube will talk positively about Trump if you put him in front of a fucking camera. Go look on YouTube. Not one of these motherfuckers will say anything negative about Trump. And they're all supposed to be fucking gangsters. There's pictures of goddamn Trump and Snoop Dogg all over the fucking place. Snoop Dogg put out a goddamn song talking about doing in fucking cops. So we're in a fucking position here, a complete fuck up. So to see Kanye West lose his goddamn mind doesn't fucking surprise me. You got white people losing their fucking minds. 78% of the fucking country is Caucasian. And these motherfuckers are panicking because they're white, the economic system is not working for them, and the excuse that a lot of fucking liberals make is, well, yeah, economic instability is causing these motherfuckers to go nuts. Well, that's true. The same economic instability in Italy and fucking Spain and Portugal and Greece and Germany, because we only focus on Germany and Chile and what have you, led to what the fuck we're looking at now.
And what that is a rise of fascism. I'm not going to play footsie with the language and say white nationalism or any of that silly crap. It's fascism, and it's driven by white anxiety.
Well, just for argument's sake, because like I said, I've written about this. Let's look at Rwanda for a second. We all know about Rwanda because of the movie Hotel Rwanda. And for the most part, it was just niggas killing niggas. Now, for those of us who were paying attention to this shit, who have a sense of the planet, we realized that the Hutu and the Tutsi shit was a real fucking division amongst these people, and that there was a historical fucking divide that the Belgians took advantage of.
Driven by colonialism.
Now you can look in North Africa and see the Arabization that's happening in Mauritania, that's happening in the Sudan, that's even split these fucking countries up. These people look just as black as anybody else, but because they got a fucking, an extra feature with their nose, because of some Arab parentage some goddamn where, one or two fucking generations sometimes behind. Or the fact that they speak Arabic fluently because they were at five or three were taken to an Arabic school because, enough Arabs moved in that they had the political fucking clout to change the school system. So, they are now considering themselves purifying Africa by wiping out indigenous fucking African peoples who have no defense, because the fucking people who consider themselves to be elevated Africans, who do not consider themselves to be tribal, who because they speak French and what have you, say that they're elevated, they're not even trying to defend these fucking people until the fucking Muslims start turning against them. Then they fucking have a problem. And now you got all of the fucking Muslim extremist groups that didn't exist before fucking Bush and Cheney tearing up Africa. You got AFRICOM brought back after World War fucking II, because that's how old that shit is. They reinvigorated this. No black man can fucking have a sane goddamn mind with all of this going on. And then you have Michael Slager getting away with fucking murking Walter Scott. So why wouldn't...
I was gonna bring it around to Michael Slager and Walter Scott.
Well, because what I'm trying to say
we've seen a lot of bullshit miscarriages of justice. The DA, the DA who sandbagged the grand jury in Ferguson comes to mind. The no charge in Cleveland over Tamir Rice comes to mind. The walk away in regard to the murder of Eric Garner comes to mind. But this was one of those situations where there was clear-cut video evidence that everything the police department had said had been a meretricious lie.
And
12 people, tried and true, I'm worried about the true part, watched that and said, nah, he walks. Cop walks. And if I don't know if you read the follow up,
yeah, but this is what I'm trying to say. You got all that motherfucking money.
It was one juror.
Well, one, yeah.
It was one juror who held out for acquittal, even on the lesser included offense of man's laughter. Because, you know, when you gun somebody down by shooting them 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times in the back, arguing manslaughter is, no, that's a laugh. One person.
Yeah, but hold on for a second. We talked about Kanye West. You had asked me what was going on. You just answered it. You're a fucking rich black man. You got that kind of goddamn money. You're fucking Kanye West now. You got that kind of fucking money. You got one of the baddest goddamn females on the fucking planet. You're not immune to this shit. That's what hit fucking Dave Chappelle. That's what I was getting to. It got to him because he realized after he had to deal with a couple of fucking, you know, just bigoted fucking white people who had the power to do that shit to him. He lost his fucking mind. How many of you out here in the audience have read Black Like Me? What happened in Black Like Me? That white man pretended to bleed black for a period of fucking time and nearly fucking went insane. That's not me putting that on him. That's what he said in the book. To deal with white racism would make you go fucking nuts. It would make you question your fucking humanity. It would make you question whether or not you exist. To sit in a goddamn
room and
you don't...
It is. It's lunacy. I had a story from a few weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it or not. It came out of a CVS pharmacy. Our buddy Jude told me about it.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
And this seems an appropriate time to bring it up.
That's the Swiss key.
A couple of guys went to CVS, to buy something, you know, because it's CVS and they have things to sell for sale. The two guys were black, of course. They were looking for some cheese. You know, just, you know, Kraft singles or some such, maybe. Right?
Swiss cheese, yeah.
And there was, and they couldn't find anybody in the store. This is in, of course, the Old Dominion, Virginia. And dude asked him, y'all got any cheese? And the employee at the CVS said, uh-uh. And the next second they look around, and it's like something out of a science fiction movie, because all the people are gone.
Yep.
And he said, we looked around for probably 30, 45 minutes, and we couldn't find anybody. And then they found another customer who was trying to pay for some Orajel and couldn't find anybody to check him out. So then the cops show up. And they're like, the two black guys are like, kind of worried here, man. It's like nobody's here. This isn't safe. And so the cops searched the store and found all...
With the two men.
Yeah, with the two guys. They searched the store together. The cop, for once, the cop was not freaked out by the black guy.
Yep.
Nobody got dead. I mean, you know, put this one in the W column, angry.
No, I... Give those cops credit. I really do. I really do. I really fucking do.
And at one point, one of the guys, his name's Barry, he said, the cop was laughing with us because, like, this is how weird apocalyptic movies start. And they found, and here's the punchline, they found that all the employees had run into a back room and locked themselves in and were huddling there in terror of the two black dudes trying to buy cheese. And the cop said, you know, you guys better go. And they said, yeah. And he said, we're being kicked out because they were scared of us and hiding. He just told us that we need to leave the premises or else we'd be arrested for trespassing, and that flipped the script on all of us. We had no idea what was going on. Meanwhile, a CVS spokesperson did get around to apologizing and said that the person who dropped the dime was being counseled and retrained. Oh, goody. And you want to laugh at something that ludicrous, but by the same token, an instance, just anything changes in a microsecond, and you got a couple of dead guys on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And so to sort of lend some, I don't guess sympathy is the right word, credence, or that kind of shit would drive you crazy. I mean, it's a drugstore. It's a retail outlet. That hour of the night, the pharmacy's not even open. Probably. And how are you supposed to cope with that? I mean, how does that
fucking?
I mean,
you say every time you say goodbye to your wife when you leave the house, you wonder if that's the last fucking time. That's how you cope with it.
No, but see, no.
I'm not trying to be.
No. But see, it's okay if cops and coal miners say that. But I mean, come on, really? I mean, just because you're going down to the Rippy Mart, it might be your last day. Yes, because America, because of the Mike Slagers of the world.
Well, this is, I'm going to tell you why I was laughing, because this is where my, not looking all that fucking black has saved my ass. One time I got stuck. This was a long fucking time ago, but this was back in the 80s. I got stuck in Toms River, New Jersey. I had a white girlfriend who lived down there, and she had to get home by a certain time, and I had to walk her, because it was at night, and be able to catch my bus to get back to Newark. And I missed my fucking bus. So it's dark. And it was like, mid-December or something. And I ended up walking to the only business that was open, which was the 7-Eleven. Now, there's no 7-Eleven in black neighborhoods, at least not back then. So I walked over there because I had to wait another 2.5 hours for this bus. And when I first walked in, the woman that was at the counter ran. There was no one else in the store. She ran. And a older man came out. I remember him to this day. Big fellow, normal cat, had a mustache. He was just working. And he's like, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I just missed my bus. So, can I get some coffee or something?" He said, "Yeah, sure." And I'm like, "Wasn't there somebody just standing here?" And he's like, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it." A cop came in, not because they called him, just because he came in to get his coffee. And he looked at me. The guy said something to him, asked him how he was doing. And he looked at me again, but he left. And what it was is that cat watched over me that whole evening until my bus came. You understand what I'm saying? He could have fucking left me out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In which case, you would have been hung out to dry.
I would have been hung out to dry. And there were several instances in which I can talk about where that shit has happened to me, because I never stayed in the fucking ghetto. I went out because I felt I had a right, like Jack Johnson, to go wherever the fuck I wanted. But at the same time, there are periods I got myself into trouble because people would start drinking and start, my sister got grabbed by a black guy at a football game 14 years ago, and I'm standing there and shit, and I'm holding hands with a fucking blonde. You can get in the fucking trouble. So, that's why I chuckle about that, because this is the shit that we have to deal with. Now, I'm gonna be straight up. If somebody had asked me back in the fucking 80s, I would have to be thinking about this shit as a fucking old man in 2016, looking at 2017. I would have told you, "You're crazy, that things will get better. things will improve. We've had a black president. But the whiplash has been, you know, absolutely not. You know, we've never talked about, you know.
Well, I mean, look at the shit that Van Jones got for coining the term white lash. I mean,
yeah.
the Trumpansies are still furious about that.
Brother Bob, there's still white folks that hate you online if you look around. You know, you and Malloy and shit and Brad Blog and fucking anybody else, Bill Press, anybody, Stephanie Miller, you know, anybody that you know, says anything about this is reality as opposed to what the fuck you're talking about, they have no choice but to come after you because that is their mode of operation. They operate like a gang. And I'm going to tell you because I had to live with this shit. I grew up with this. Any fucking buddy that grew up around this, you know what the mentality of the gang and what the bully is. You pick on the weakest to intimidate the motherfucking rest. You catch most motherfuckers from a gang by themselves, they're not very much. Now, they might be able to reach down within their fucking guts to find something to do a particular act because either I do this act or my ass is on the fucking line. But when not talking about motherfuckers, you know, shit like that. They have that mob mentality. But each one of these motherfuckers, because I told you, I've been on the street with these people. They're punks. You catch these supposed alt-right motherfuckers on their own, they're pussies. They're punks. They're fucking nobody. That's why they go online with these fucking big ass, you know, all of them on Twitter anyway. They have, you know, guns and rifles and shit in their fucking profile, or they have some muscular Jesus with a fucking, you know, AK-47 or some kind of bullshit. These are cowards. They jack off the fucking Japanese anime, goddamn me. They're grown fucking men playing video games all fucking day. They're punks. I'm not going to be intimidated by a fucking coward. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean that they're not dangerous. But let's consider the mentality that we're dealing with. We're dealing with a lot of fucking, you know, grown men who have never really fucking grown up. You know, there was a blogger called Shanley. I know I sent you the link to this. She was living with the fucker who finally got kicked off Twitter.
Richard Spencer? Leader,
Rabbi, whatever the fuck he's calling himself now.
Oh, yeah.
No, not Richard Spencer. Andrew Augermeyer, whatever the fuck his name is. Well, you know, he was one of these, you know, really intelligent 4chan, 8chan neo-Nazis who got the motherfucker that started all that bullshit, who's another racist, you know, one of these intellectual fucking neo-Nazis who know that they have the law on their side, that will stand and say nigga, nigga, nigga and free speech, and then when you punch them in the face, they call 911 and say he hit me. I've dealt with that type of shit. Like I said, they're fucking cowards. He did like a year in the federal pen for some hacking thing. And, you know, came out with a big swastika on his fucking chest that he got in there. So now he's a big-time neo-fucking Nazi. Well, they finally kicked him off of Twitter. But this woman named Shanley, and I'll send you the link again, she put out an expose about this motherfucker because he lived with her for a period of time before he got into that trouble. And she's like, all he eats is fast food like all these other fucking guys. They hook up with women. They don't try to get jobs. They can get jobs. They don't work. They blame everybody for their own fucking failure of depression and not being able to fucking finish school and not being able to pay off their student loans. It's the Jews. It's the blacks. And, you know, they treat their women really badly and they extract everything the fuck out of them while they accuse other people of being leeches and all this type of shit. Yeah. You know, just like fucking Hitler. Hitler was no goddamn different. He was a failure in most of the fucking things that he did in his life. The one fucking thing about him that you could give him credit for was that he knew two things very fucking well: politics and psychology. And he worked that shit to the fucking max. And he found people who also fucking understood that bullshit and used their goddamn advice to do what the fuck he did. But it was a small group of people. We should not ever fucking believe that half the country was really behind it. They might have voted, you know, that way, but he didn't even win the majority of the vote. It was a parliamentary vote. But it was legal. And most people fucking voted for the same fucking reason that they voted for Trump. You know, his promises to bring Germany back.
Make it great again.
Over the fuck place. Make it great again. When we ran the Holy Roman Empire. All of this shit. It's always talking about going back. But when you crawl with these white supremacist motherfuckers, They'll tell a black person, well, why are you living in the past? Slavery is over. But you motherfuckers are talking about a system that has failed.
All right.
How many goddamn times has it failed?
So help me here, Angry. Because I think there's a split of opinion. I say that if you voted for Trump, you got in bed with these people. You got in bed with Steve Bannon. You know, I saw one story that said, you know, he's an alcoholic and a wife beater. And a neo-Nazi.
Look at him.
And you know, the argument put forward last night was that, well, no, they didn't. These Trump voters just didn't know anything about all of that, and I frankly find that I find that near impossible to believe. Yeah, probably the number of people hanging out at 4chan and 8chan and Reddit's kind of a cesspool too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's become a cesspool. It didn't start out that way.
No, it just got taken over. Yeah. Okay, those are limited numbers. But even over here, where we live in the fact-based world, you know, we saw all this shit coming out, and for a week there, you couldn't turn on Cartoon Network or Nick at Night without hearing "Grab Her by the Pussy."
Mm-hmm.
I myself feel dirty every time I say that. But it was a defining moment. And you know, when you look at people and you say, well, you know, what about that? Because you know, there's plenty of video out there, and they say, yeah, but he's gonna make America great again. I'm looking at a news story right now that says, and it's got a picture of chinless Mitch McConnell, and the headline is from Reuters: repealing Obamacare to be first on Senate agenda in 2017. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says repealing Obamacare will be the first order of business in the U.S. Senate in January.
Who's going to pay for those hover rounds, though?
Tough shit. Who's going to, you know, who's the Medicaid expansion? Because see,
if I hear anchor, baby, I see a hover round.
But the pearl clutchers over that, you know, in the for-profit media places like, you know, CNN, MSNBC, what have you, Fox, yada yada, ABC, CBS, NBC. They say, well, you know, the Congress couldn't possibly simply repeal Obamacare because, after all, it's 1,700 pages or whatever it is. And there's so many things in there that the American people like. And I'm sitting here thinking, how simple are you? I got some magic beans. You want to buy them? Because these are people who just take baseball bats to China shops. They don't want to save the good China and just do the cheap shit. They want to wreck the whole place. And the easiest thing in the world is to pass a one-sentence bill. Obama, the Affordable Care Act is hereby repealed. Period. All in favor. Aye. Over to the House. All in favor. Aye. And Benito Cheeto gets out his bill signing crayon and signs it. And it's done. And there's not a blessed thing that the American people can do about it, except don't get sick. And if you do get sick, die quickly. And the Trumpanzees?
Yeah, but
the Trumpanzees won't care, because that's just going to be further proof that we're on our way to being great again.
Well, you know why? I had a fucking discussion last week with somebody who's like, I don't agree with the rest of them. I still think Trump, this, that, and the other. And then we talked about health care. And he's like, well, I think they should keep some aspects of Obamacare. And I'm like, what aspects? And of course, it was his health issues. He's got chronic health issues. But he feels that he deserves it. Because he's like, I've had a job for 30 years. I'm like, well, good for you. You know, why do you deserve extra and nobody else?
I mean, what's going to happen to the health care?
I hated him.
What's going to happen to the health care of the people who got stiffed at Carrier?
Oh, now, they don't care. Do they care about the responders from 911?
Yeah, not much.
No, I mean that's a question right there. That answers your question. Did they care about them? They use them for propaganda all the fucking time. You know, there's cop and firefighter propaganda. And all that crap all the time. We're supposed to just look at these people as living gods. But when it came to paying them for running into that goddamn structure, though, they didn't want to pay them. They still don't want to pay the survivors from that. We can ask that question. You know, make sure that those people were taken care of because the quote-unquote Democrats didn't take care of them after the Republicans didn't take care of them the first time? No. If he's not going to support them and he's not going to fucking take care of the goddamn soldiers that have been fucked up, I mean, the Obama administration has done more for the fucking military in terms of aftercare than the fucking Bush-Cheney goddamn cabal did. You know, but even then, they still got screwed. So, no, they're voting against their best interests and they don't care. I mean, in your community, how many people there are literally voting against their best interest?
Everybody who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
And people are mad with Noam Chomsky for saying that, even though he was accurate about that.
Well, at least around here, I don't have to worry about too awful many people knowing who Noam Chomsky is.
Noam Chomsky is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised when I find out people around me know who he is, but I mean, a lot of people do. But what he said was, we're stuck with a two-party system. So, you know, what, like I've been saying to you, we wait till the election and then start saying everything is fucked up and we need to do something. You had 4 years to fucking say something beforehand. And in terms of Obama, he said, make me do it. Am I wrong about that?
No, he was quoting FDR.
He said, make me do it. I put on a pair of comfortable shoes. They didn't make him do anything. And this is where the black community can be blamed. Because they were like, well, this is our brother, and he's got the peace prize. So, you know, let him have some peace. That's exactly what I've heard on the street. We shouldn't push him. Let him have some peace. Let his family enjoy being king and queen for a little while. Not the fact that we send him to goddamn D.C. to fucking work for us, not to fucking sit up there.
Quick diversion here. I'm just kind of hitting some high points as we go, Angry. Al Gore going to Trump Tower.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. You surprised? I'm not.
I guess... I'm of two minds on it. On the one hand, it's like, Al, what are you thinking? It's not like this is a Bush. It's not like this is somebody normal. This is a spirochete infested rotten brain.
But he's the man right now.
And so this bullshit meme is circling the globe right now that. Ivanka will impose some sanity because she cares about climate change.
Oh, really?
Because the way it broke out was that before he met with Trump, he met for a considerable period of time with Ivanka.
For what?
Well, to make sure that she understood how serious it is, you know, because she's a mom and she's got little children who are going to have to deal with climate change and its effects and its impacts.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, but you see what's going on here. You see what's going on here. You know, they're going back that they have a, you know, like I said, I've known rich people, and a lot of them are very fucking delusional, especially those that came into their money. And fucking, you know, they got this bullshit back where I'm going to be this, you know, head of state like they used to have. Because you talked about Roosevelt earlier, remember? His sons, who were all in the fucking Navy, they were all officers in the Navy. Their family is Navy. And goddamn, they were all of his assistants. When he would, you know, go on these cruises and deal with these meetings and shit that he had at Yalta and whatever the fuck, they were also making deals for him on the fucking side, right? Now, it wasn't legal, but they were making political fucking deals in terms of, you know, diplomacy. This motherfucker has it in his mind that he's going to use his children, because he's already tried to get them security clearances, and then he lied and said that he didn't try that. He did. He uses his daughter to basically fucking be the go-between. Between him, not the White House, but between him and these other world leaders. He's setting up his own fucking private network. He's doing something that Goldsmith, the English billionaire, tried to do in the 80s, to set up his own intelligence network and then set up basically his own private pipeline to world leaders. Murdoch tried the same thing, but they couldn't really do it. Trump is in a position to do this. And that should fucking concern everybody.
No, it doesn't concern me.
Because this is basically doing what the fuck is done in South America.
That's horrifying.
America and Africa.
That's horrifying. And just to jump back, because I want to make sure there's some information that just needs to be out there, Angry. I want to make sure that people know that in the case of the Michael Slager trial in North Charleston, I mentioned the St. Louis County DA sort of deliberately hamstringing the prosecution of Darren Wilson. Well, let's understand that the prosecutor in the Mike Slager trial did the same thing. Only she didn't do it with a grand jury. She did it with a pettit jury, a trial jury. First of all, because the goddess of irony is always at work, the prosecutor of Michael Slager's name, and I kid you not, is Scarlett Wilson. Scarlett. Now look, it's kind of like our potential incoming attorney general, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. I don't care if there's been a Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions II and the first. There is meaning attached to those names. Okay? If you name your little baby Adolf Gustavus Hitler, whatever Adolf's middle name was, you're not doing it because that's the catchy, trendy name for millennials to name their little baby boys this year. You're making a statement out of your kid's name, just like Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. Jefferson Davis is obvious. Beauregard ordered the firing of the first shot of the Civil War. Now, if you name your precious baby daughter Scarlett, you've got something on your mind. You've got visions of the old South and the lovely days of the barbecues at 12 Oaks. Right? And visions of Mammy telling Scarlett to stand still so she can get her corset laced up proper so she won't look like some sort of hussy at the barbecue. Right? Well, you remember how haughty, whether it be in the book or the film, you remember how haughty Scarlett O'Hara was. Oh, fiddly-dee, I'll worry about it tomorrow. You remember how petulant and how she tended to make everything a problem brought on by somebody else. You know, right down to the fact that she was perfectly willing to steal the husband of a woman that considered her near and dear to her heart. Well, when she made her opening statement, and just as a matter of background, people know, there's in a criminal trial, there's an opening statement and a closing argument. The opening statement is supposed to be based upon facts, and it is supposed to provide a sort of a roadmap of the things that the prosecution has to prove in order to prevail at trial. The closing statement is where you bring on the drama and you literally make an argument out of the facts that have been adduced at trial. It's where you talk about how the formation of the criminal intent comes around. Things like that. And it's where you bring the passion. But in the opening statement, at the beginning of the trial, with the jury sitting there, having finally been selected and gone through the voir dire process, 11 white folks and one black person, 6 white men, 5 white women, and 1 black man. In the opening statement of the trial, she made this argument, Angry. Argument. If Walter Scott had stayed in that car, he wouldn't have been shot.
Oh, I've been hearing that.
He paid the extreme consequence for his conduct. He lost his life for his foolishness. So here's the victim in a criminal case, a fucking shooting victim by a cop, and the prosecutor, whose job is to advance the prosecution, stands up, and the first thing out of her mouth at the trial is, it's the black guy's fault he's dead.
And then I will go in front of the fucking news after the trial at the press conference, and everybody stands there with their hands folded in front of them, looking stern, you know, looking whatever the fuck, talking about, well, we don't know why we lost. We don't know why we lost. You know, something happened. We don't know what it was. Oh, it was that one juror. That's what it was. How did the Trayvon Martin murder trial open? The defense opened with a joke. Remember?
Yeah, but I mean, but this is a little different because this is the prosecution.
Yeah.
I mean, if the defense lawyer gets up and says he was the author of his own doom, okay, that's their job. I mean, it's the same thing as standing up and saying, well, it's a pity she got raped, but consider how she was dressed.
Okay, so now again, when I say white liberals, where the fuck are you? Here's the prosecution saying, well, he brought it upon himself, but we're prosecuting the cop that shot him in the back 8 fucking times. But he brought it upon himself. But we're prosecuting this case. We want to remind you that we're prosecuting this case. But he did do it to himself.
Yeah, we're mailing it in. It's his fault he's dead.
But what I'm trying to say, it's a real backhanded thing. I just told you, you know, my wife and I was out not too long ago, and somebody who I really never expected anything like this from, I really like this guy, but I'm at the point where I don't want to have any, you know, I'm really questioning whether I want to have any contact with him, because when it came up, you know, the things are getting crazy because of Trump, and then it got to racism. His thing was he hits the table talking about, well, when black men stop killing themselves, look at Chicago, when black men stop killing themselves, you know, when are we going to discuss that? And I had to say to him, because his wife was now like, but wait a minute, hold on for a second. I'm like, yeah, 97% of white people, according to the FBI, kill other white people. Why isn't that a discussion? And then he didn't really have too much to say after that, and then the subject got changed. But I had to sit there and keep my face for the rest of the evening. This is what I'm saying. Why should any person of color, any Native American, any African, go into a fucking court of law and think that they're going to get justice? We would be fools to think that we're going to get justice in a case like this. In any of these cases, I mean, how many more have to goddamn happen before white folks say to themselves, we have a fucking problem here, and I give a fuck, and I need to do something, instead of just saying, well, my fucking uncle's got a bad attitude, or my neighbor has a bad attitude.
And to be fair, that quote actually comes from a New York Times story. So at least they reported it.
Yeah, but it's after the fact. Shit. You know, I mean, you still got Trump saying that the Central Park Five is still guilty.
That's absolutely true. And at the same time, we also need to bear in mind it's a mistrial, and Ms. Scarlett says she will reconvene and she will retry him immediately.
Yeah, but I've already seen some speculation on the legal blogs that are saying that the way that this has been laid out, more than likely, this can't be retried. And he's going to have a whole lot of public support in the meantime that's going to lead the DA's office to not retry him. And, of course, his local sub of the fucking police union is certainly going to try to keep this from being brought back in the court. And we all know how much pull they have. So for all accounts and purposes, I mean, there was nothing done unless there's a riot, right? And I don't want to say that, but let's be honest. Unless there's a fucking riot, there'll be no goddamn no trial. You know?
Yeah, I wish I could disagree with you, but I can't.
I wish I could disagree. I'm not happy fucking saying this shit. I just said to you, I'm a fucking Tom. I want to be able to fucking date who I want and shit and wear what the fuck I want and eat where I want and go enjoy music wherever the fuck I want to and go to the goddamn museum without having people look at me as a charity case. I would like to be able to fucking live my goddamn life. The only reason this shit is a fucking real fucking issue at this point is because Obama was in office for two goddamn terms, saves capitalism from himself. They can't re-fucking elect him, so they said, okay, we're going to fucking take it back. White people got lax, and black folks just totally meant to fuck to sleep. And never fucking let this shit, you know, never dealt with it at any time. Obama never dealt with it. The Justice Department never dealt with it. We had two people, black people, in the Justice Department who never really dealt with the fucking racism. The first one says that white Americans are cowards for not facing racism. He told the fucking truth with his West Indian ass because they don't bullshit the way American blacks do. He told the motherfucking truth, and then he got hounded out of office. So didn't they bring sister up there, and she talked a lot of shit in the beginning, but then nothing. We've had Secretary of State. We've had all of this shit. Nothing. Now, like I said, don't tell me that, oh, well, you know, we're supposed to watch out for everybody. Okay, I understand that. But every fucking – and I'm a Jew, all right? I'm also fucking Jewish. And I know how that goddamn community works. When a fucking Jewish politician gets into a position of influence, don't goddamn think that his or her fucking mailbox and fucking inbox isn't full of goddamn requests and reminders of what the – fuck they're supposed to do and what they owe to their goddamn community. Obama said, fuck that. I'm a real American and I don't owe anybody anything. I'm not up here for black America. I'm everybody's motherfucking president. And he went out for white people because that's America. So we shouldn't be surprised about this. And we shouldn't be surprised that fucking, you know, a whole lot of white folks, including a lot of white liberals, you know, they were supportive of Obama, but when they didn't need him any goddamn more, they voted Trump. Obama saved the fucking system.
Yeah, well, he did, in a way, and in a much milder way, Angry, he did what FDR did.
He did what
FDR saved the wealth class's ass.
Through socialism.
And kept them from being, you know, pitchforked and torches and tarred and feathered. And in return, they called him a traitor to his class. Well, yeah, Barack Obama saved Wall Street, gave them goddamn trainloads of corporate welfare, and in return, and let's not forget, you know, Detroit or the auto industry, and in return, you know, mm-hmm. spent 8 years being called a socialist, Kenyan, Muslim, usurper. Beats the hell out of me.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I can point to white communities, and I'm saying it like this because they make a point, Orange County, of talking about how white they are, right? Parts of Georgia to talk about how white they are. Parts of fucking Oregon to talk about how white they are. You know, all this bullshit. Here you had, you know, they all did well under the Obama administration. They all did well under the fucking Obama administration. They got what the fuck they asked for and then some. Detroit was a black city. What the fuck did Detroit get? It's not even a city any goddamn more.
No, there's parts of Detroit that are a Mayan ruin. Exactly. Yeah. Well, Angry, I'm gonna run. I've got we've had a few other folks calling in, and I want to give them a chance to get into the conversation too. It's good hearing from you. Thanks for letting my ideas bounce off of you, and thank you for sharing a little slice of reality that maybe others might not necessarily be aware of.
Well, as usual, I try, and if you can, please dig deep into your pockets. If you can, keep programming like this on the air, because if you don't, you've been hearing us tonight talk about fake news. So stick to real news. Support the Bob Kincaid. Peace.
Thanks, Angry. Bye now. Our buddy the Angry Indian. Notes coming in. Well worth the sharing. Note coming from Steve in China. Cults, money, and charisma. Not sure how and when Scientology became an acceptable cult, but it has become acceptable through cult celebrity, and by now, certainly. I had a brief encounter with the cult many years ago, getting on the inside and learning a bit about what was going on. Well, talk and talk and more talk about the Most High. Money. Outside of daily sessions where everyone stood around and paid tribute to a great beaming portrait of the founding god L. Ron, the rest of the time was spent in scheming for members and their idle dollars and otherwise drumming up support for the cult itself, trying to convince folks that it was based on something like a higher sort of science fiction cartoon version of enlightened thinking, and creating all manner of parlor trick grade school sciences, background noise for the faithful or the hopeless. Weird people, glassy-eyed, monomaniacal, thoroughly stuck into their material worlds of middle-class whiteness and Tupperware convenience. It was the early 80s, after all. Funny, though, it seems that the generation which spawned such nonsense has become the sort of ridiculous tweetdom we participate in today. Or do we? If the Electoral College had enough collective fortitude to do what is clearly and constitutionally part of its mandate, to respect the will of the people, thereby confirming the popular vote and guaranteeing the principle of one person, one vote, it is obvious we should preserve our nominal republic. But they don't have the guts, and neither do we. Since we have no reason to let an unqualified chump of capitalism plunge us into chaos. And they don't even have reasons for installing an imbecile and his sideshow family of geeks into the White House. They're not mindless cogs. They aren't required by law to automatically confirm the electoral winner. Otherwise, why an electoral confirmation? The founders were not so dense, but we are. Better to follow a cult like Scientology and just worship and be jealous of all that filthy, sexy money. Regards, Steve in China. Thank you, Steve. And that to which Steve refers is the clear statement in the Federalist Papers by Hamilton that the purpose of the Electoral College... Remember, Hamilton was a royalist. Hamilton had a very, very dim view of the hoi polloi. And so he wanted to make sure that the Electoral College stood there as a bulwark against a demagogue, against a man of no genius for government who could somehow tap into the, and of course it wasn't a word for them back then, the zeitgeist of the moment. I mean, he said it specifically. He didn't dance around the corners of it. He said that's what it was for, to prevent somebody who could get the popular vote from becoming the head of the country if the popular electorate simply lost their minds and went with personality instead of brains or talent or dedication or patriotism or, you know, wealth. And so there's an argument to be had that on the one hand, the Electoral College is about to fail. There's also an argument on the other hand that the Electoral College is about to do exactly what it was designed to do. You had someone win the popular vote. It's 2.6 million votes now, okay? And the Electoral College will prevent her from being president. Instead, worshiping that which Alexander Hamilton, for whom I do not hold much respect, held most dear. Wealth. Wealth. And more wealth. Note coming in from Michael in Madison. I said I was of two minds about Gore going to meet with Trump. And Michael said, regarding Gore meeting with Trump, look, I'm not by a long shot the president of the Al Gore fan club, but does anyone really think the meeting was anything other than Gore pleading with Trump not to back out of the Paris Agreement and not to totally fucking trash the planet, and perhaps more importantly, pleading his case to Ivanka, knowing that she is perhaps the one person on the planet to whom her daddy might actually listen, who might actually have an ounce of sense? In all likelihood, it may have done no good whatsoever, but I can see why he felt he must try. And I'm willing to give Al a pass on this one for now, and I'm not ready to throw him into the basket of collaborators. And I think that's pretty much where I am. I don't see that as collaborating, because there's no evidence that he did. There's no evidence that he quid pro quo'd or anything like that. And maybe he did it. Maybe he made an appeal to Ivanka based on the world her children will have to live in. Maybe she understands that in living in Manhattan, she lives in a place that likely will be significantly underwater in the next 100 years, and that's just a couple of generations of little orange Trumple thin skins. And there's also the fact that it is said that Trump is nothing more than a reflection of the last thing someone told him. Primacy and recency. So I get your, you know, I get your point. I get your point, Michael. I really, really do. James points out Scarlet was the epitome of Southern rebirth and ascendancy, which, of course... is what Gone with the Wind is all about, is the South losing the war and winning the insurgency, which they did. Note coming from Robert in Australia, and by the way, thank you for the thumb drive, Robert. I'm looking forward to watching it. Robert says, I've asked Trump supporters over and again, what does Make America Great Again mean? What makes a country great? I've never gotten an answer. One guy said, it means I can beat up libtards like you. And that would make for a great America for some of these Trump pansies. A majority of them, I would suggest. We're still trying to raise $180 this evening. And it would be awfully nice so to do. If you're inclined to jump in, it is much appreciated. Let's go over and talk to Todd, who is actually in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Bob.
What's happening, man?
Well, I'm a little bit irritated as usual.
I hope it's nothing I did or said.
No, well, of course not. You know, I have to prioritize things. Look, no, seriously, I'm not going to keep you, but I'm a little bit. I blame this shit on Trump, this Schlager mistrial. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. Okay.
Were you aware of the fact that the prosecutor told the jury right out of the box it was okay to acquit the cop?
You mean Scarlett? Scarlett?
Yeah, Miss Scarlett, I don't know nothing about trying no cases. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, see? So, apparently we have a problem. And I'm not going to curse yet because it's too serious. I'd hate to get to the point where we have to have segregated juries for people, but apparently that's where we're moving with this shit. All you know is what I tell you, but I read a lot, okay? And what I've not seen, and I've emphasized this before speaking with you. Now, as bad as it is to see that officer posted up with that weapon. I mean, like he was shooting a deer, right? He had his legs spread. I mean, I've been at the target range. That's how you fuck. That's what you train to do. You know, he took three seconds. I was counting. Then he started to shoot that man like it was a target. That's not fucking self-defense. Number one. That's number one. Number two is the disturbing of the crime scene. If you think that was a good shoot, in other words, if you think you were justified in shooting that individual, why would you pick up that taser and place it next to the body? Am I making any modicum of sense here?
Oh, no, you're making a ton of sense. You're describing exactly what the jurors saw in the video. But I guess, Todd, that... my argument is that when the prosecutor, the person in charge of advancing the case, has told you at the beginning of the trial, before the first witness has ever testified, that the defendant is at fault for his own death, everything after that is just a waste of time. Now, for me, you may recall after Ferguson, I put forward this idea of federalizing the prosecution of police who commit crimes.
You're reading my mind, Bob. Move forward, please.
That we have to have a group of prosecutors who have nothing whatsoever to do with any of the jurisdictions where the crimes take place, whose only job is to prosecute cops who break the law.
Totally divested.
Miss Scarlett had to do that because she's every day she goes to work and she works with cops from the same police force. She would have her relationship would have gone to hell. I mean, there's other parts of the quote in the New York Times story. I can't imagine sitting in the jury box and hearing this. She said,
A whole criminal justice system rides on the back of law enforcement. They have to be held accountable when they mess up. It is very, very rare, but it does happen. Mess up. Mike Slager shooting Walter Scott as he fled, shooting him repeatedly in the back. Well, that he just messed up. You understand? Bless his heart, he couldn't help it. And that's the kind of shit that the defense does.
Exactly. But there's one thing. There's a lot going on right here, right? Okay. As an adult, since I've been here, I mean, I used to visit, but as an adult, I've learned this the hard way. Apparently, and remember, this has to do with Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin also. Okay, because you remember that area of Florida, really, before Disneyland, that was just, you know, bumfuck Egypt. That was really, that's panhandle, that's cattle country. Okay, around Orlando, that's really just cattle country and orange groves. But when a white person tells you to stop, any white person, much less law enforcement, you're supposed to do what a white person says.
Well, goddamn, look, we haven't even gotten to the McKnight case.
Wait a minute. Before I lose, you know, I get off on these tangents. Now, one thing that Governor Cuomo did that was wonderful. He moved on just what you spoke about. He made it in New York State. There's a questionable police shooting. It has to just go to a special prosecutor. Now, it's not quite as far as what you said, I don't think. It's not federal. Obviously, it's not federal. But it's moving in that direction. And that's the thing. You know, unless you get the criminal justice system is strange. It's a process. Unless you really have gone through it, you don't understand. It is such about process. It has nothing. Once you get involved in that shit, it's not even about if you go through your innocence. It's about a process. It's disgusting. That's why that shit is fucking critical, getting that shit ironed out in the beginning. Because once they get through discovery, once the judge gets involved in what's admissible as evidence and all that nonsense, everything changes. Everything. But this shit is ridiculous because it is so cut and dry. So, the guy ran, this is what I don't fucking get. Use fucking common sense. The motherfucker got pulled over. Fine. He runs away. Okay. Guess what? You got his car. You got his ID. You know, it's not easy to live on the land. It's not easy to it's not easy anymore. It ain't fucking easy. You're going to come up somewhere. Somewhere. They're going to find your ass. It ain't like it used to be. Let the motherfucker get away. He's not going to be away that long. They can find you. They can do anything they want. They can fucking find your ass. Period. You got his car. You got his license. You know in the area in which he's in. He didn't hurt you. Get the fuck out of here. Now, I hate to say it. If there was a white dude, they'd be like, look at this dude. He shot up the goddamn pizzeria. And you know what? I suspect I have been on that street in D.C. I think that's just a few blocks from the Capitol. That's near that farmer's market. I think I've seen that place. And he goes in there, and I mean, there's a lot of fucking well-to-do people that go in and out of there. They might dress down, but they, you know, those are the movers and shakers up in there. And, you know, shit is all fucked up. Now, I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent. I know, but, you know, come on, man. You have to be a little bit fair here. You know,
the guy shot up the inside of the pizza joint, comes out onto the street and lays down in the road, and the cops go, well, okay, I guess he's done. Let's arrest him.
Right. Okay. All right. Here we go. Here's two examples. That's Exhibit A. Exhibit B. They pull the black guy over. And remember, when they pull you over, there's some of these licenses that have RFID tags. They already know who you are before they fucking pull you over. They already know what the fuck. They know if you have committed any crimes. They know a lot of shit. and they can hear in your car when you're talking. They can hear that shit. They got a lot of technology in a lot of these cars now. So it's like, oh, he was shopping for a weapon. This black dude, oh, he had a gun back in 1987. We're going to have to shoot his ass because you looked at a gun 20 years ago. Bam. That's it. White dude, they're like, hey, what's up? Like, hey, Andy was saying a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you know, just like we're supposed to be doing out in, out, you know, in the Northwest, which we all know who lives out there, right? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, this ain't going to float that long. And I'm not trying to foam at anything. I'm just reporting things as I see them.
Well, you're a hell of a lot closer to Charleston than we are. You've probably got a better view of the landscape.
Well, and that's why I brought it up. You see, this is what I'm not seeing enough. I've only seen in two instances. In other words, I'm seeing a lot of the pushing of Slager saying, the officer saying that, well, he went for my taser and I was scared, which, I mean, that is a tried and true. That's what they say. I feared for my
life. But when there's video showing him moving the taser closer to the body, well, that... you know,
that's mentioned. I'm telling you, remember, I used to get paid to do this shit. I was a media analyst. I used to get paid to read newspapers and analyze certain articles and turn qualitative information, which means words, into quantitative, which means numbers, and code it. I really used to do that shit. I did that shit for years. Years. Okay? And there's a method to this shit. So what I'm saying is,
well, I mean, okay, so, I mean, I wasn't there for the trial. I don't have the transcripts in front of me. But you know, Todd, that in advance of charges or anything, the police department and Slager lied their asses right off about what happened.
Why do you keep reading my goddamn mind, man? What the fuck is wrong with you?
You know, just lucky, I guess. So dig this. So you put on, say, Chief Barney Fife, and you ask him about the things he publicly stated that turned out not to be true. And then you ask him about, and then you ask him to watch the video. And then you make him recount his statements to the press and to the public about what happened, and you ask him one question. Which time were you lying? Were you lying then, or are you lying now? We know you're a liar. We're just trying to figure out which part is the lie. We've got the video here. And see, a good litigator would do something like that, would absolutely gut him like a carp on the stand.
Doesn't it seem easy?
But Miss Scarlett can't do that. Because she works every day with the chief.
Right. And guess what? That's her pay and her career trajectory depends on those officers doing what they're supposed to do. And you know, honestly, most law enforcement, you know, most guys are good. Most men and women doing law enforcement, most of them are good. But the thing is, the way the system is set up is you want to come home at night. You want people to have your back. You want people to cover for you. You want to, just like everybody else at work, you know, you want to eat a candy bar, you want to get a break, you want to go pick your kid up from school, and nobody's going to say anything because of blah, 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 right? You want those little things. However, you can't have that if you're not a unit, because remember, they're a gang. They function as a gang. They're a family, which is a gang. And I've been saying this for years, and I'll keep saying it because that is the truth. You talk to any competent criminologist, they will tell you. That's why shit shuts down. When somebody kills a cop, you can rob a bank almost, and nobody will care because they're going to get the cop killer. When a gang member gets shot, what do? Pack mentality, like the fascist act. Like Andrew was saying, that's the truth. Those people are cowards by themselves. He said, It's the mob mentality, and that's how they operate. I'm not judging. I'm just. These are facts. There's people who study this. I mean, this is in the literature. This is, you know. But again, we're in an illiterate now society. You know, you don't like intellectuals. So if you have a problem with your hip, you want to go to the butcher. You don't want to go to the orthopedic surgeon because you want to go to the butcher because that's the guy down the street and he's cut me. I can go down to him. He's gonna charge me $50 to get my hip done. Why should I go to orthopedic surgeon? You know what I'm saying? This is where we are.
Sadly, true.
Now. See, that's some fucked up shit. It's even hard to like pull myself up from that because it's very sad. But what we're dealing with here, with this nonsense, how can people feel confident with the criminal justice process? Everyone's seen this.
Aren't you presuming that somewhere people are confident of the criminal justice process? It kind of goes back to what Angry was saying, man, if you're black in America, how can you be?
Well, by the Constitution, we're not. Because it says you are not, there's places written where it says you are not bound to do anything. I forget the exact wording. Automatic. Maddox, he's a very intense attorney out of New York. Alton Maddox. Alton. He's got some deep doo-doo. He knows the hell. He's deep, man. They took his license away to practice law in New York because he was tearing people up. Tearing people up in court. You know, just like this 13th Amendment, you know, slavery was, you know, illegal unless you get arrested and in prison. Then they can actually put you in, you know, slave. It's like that slave labor. These privatized prisons, you know. But we have a lot of issues to address that may not be getting addressed with this administration because it looks like they're going to try to destroy this country day by day, the way that we would see the country go. And, you know, people are having concerns over this. And the last call of the Angry Indian, you know, I think I had mentioned that to you before. The Black Like Me, I had that book in my bookshelf. I had one of the original from the 60s. That's a very, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's just an interesting book. Because the guy was a reporter, and he took these pills to darken his skin. And his wife was ready to divorce him, you know. And there's a movie on YouTube about it. It's a little bit cheesy. It's a lot cheesy. After you've read the book, it's kind of cheesy. But the book is great. The book is, I would recommend it to everybody. It's a quick read. You can read it.
Well, and you know, there have been a couple of examinations of those things. There's another, and I think, Gregory Peck is in it, Gentleman's Agreement?
I'm not familiar.
That's if I recall correctly, that's a film in which a man passes himself off as Jewish so as to be able to report on anti-Semitism. I don't know. I don't recall if that's based on fact.
Well,
I'm looking now.
I hope Frontier treats you better.
Oh no, they suck.
You know that's a damn shame because this is not even, you know, honestly, this is not even you know, more and more online, everything you need to do is online, and I don't blame people. I mean organizations because you got to save paper and whatnot. It's cheaper, but you know if everybody doesn't have a decent connection, then you're disenfranchising a lot of people. Everybody knows that, but disgusting. So what'd you find?
Gentleman's Agreement is fiction. But it was a 1947 big Oscar winner, Best Picture, Best Supporting Actress for Celeste Holm, Best Director Elia Kazan. And it's based upon a novel by Laura Hobson, and a journalist poses as a Jew in order to report on anti-Semitism in New York City and Darien, Connecticut. And speaking of Connecticut, by the way, I've got this one right here. In the I'm sorry, not Connecticut. It was a Connecticut website, but this comes from Virginia. Accomack County Public Schools in Virginia have banned To Kill a Mockingbird and Huckleberry Finn again.
That's a terrible thing.
Well, you know why?
Well, see,
because that word appears in the text.
Well, so what? Like they haven't heard? You know, come on, man. We have to really, really, really peel this shit. It's going to hurt. Have you ever had a third-degree burn?
Yes.
Okay, so you know, I have also. I used to have a motorcycle, and I laid my bike down, and I had a really bad third-degree burn on my leg. And I had to go every other day to the whirlpool, and the pain was terrible, and they had to scrub it. And the reason I bring that up is that, you know, I had hairy legs and all that. In other words, the way they explained it to me, well, it could heal, but you have the way your leg is, you have hair, blah, blah, blah. We have to really scrape this down. We have to go all the way down and make sure that it has no infection in it. See, we have infection. We have racist infection. We have infection in our fabric. The fabric of America is infected. Now, some of this infection is coming out. Some of the pus is coming out. But we need to clean the wound. This wound, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. But it must be done. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, you are. And I'm also sitting here, I'm getting getting some messages from our buddy Gerald, who said, you know, at this point, you know, let the Trumpanzees learn, you know, when shit gets real. These compassionate conservative teabag and sprayed roach crazy Republicans want to get rid of things like SNAP benefits. And I guess nobody's told them that when they do that, they're going to be taking food out of a hell of a lot more white mouths than they are black.
You didn't know only black people are on SNAP. You didn't know that?
Yeah, right. I know. And Obama phones. Got it. Sure. But what happens when that happens? And what happens when that happens to Trumpanzees? It's like something Boss Man Wayne said last night. What happens when they come for the Social Security and Medicare benefits of white folks over 60 who ran to the polls or hover rounded to the polls or whatever they did to vote for Trump because they's going to make Mark great again?
Have you seen how happy Eddie Munster is?
Yeah, he is, and that's why I keep saying that Obama and Biden need to resign right now.
I like that.
And just let Paul Ryan have the presidency, and watch the Republicans tear themselves to pieces. I mean, Eddie Munster is going to love him some Trump supporters when they start sending him the threatening emails. Because Paul Ryan, once he got to be president, would like to be president. Paul Ryan wants to be president real bad.
How many children does he have?
That I do not know.
Okay. Because the way I understand it, he's been on the government seat since he was in his mid to late 20s. He's been working for government. And the reason I bring that up is that a lot of folks, like when they say, why are you worried about the police killing black people? If they just had done what they were supposed to do, they wouldn't get hurt. Right. So, and there's a segue to this. So, Paul Ryan, if he was supposed to be doing what he's supposed to do, he would be elevating everyone, because if he wasn't in government, he would be hurting himself.
Well, I mean, he did marry money. A lot of money.
Well, yeah, see, these folks, okay, maybe that's the caveat. Okay, that's...
Gerald tells me Paul Ryan has three kids, two boys and a girl. I'm sure whatever their ages are, they've already read the Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, God. See, that's what I'm saying. He's a social Darwinist, and it's just disgusting. It really is. I mean, we've already seen this before. But the thing, this is what I don't like. When folks bring up black people and having trouble with the cops and getting killed, and then they always want to bring up Chicago and Baltimore. I hear this, because you know what I'm addicted to in the morning. I'm not going to say it, but you know what I'm addicted to in the morning. And it reminded me to ask you something about Vance. Oh, Vance. But, yeah, so they always love to bring that up. But it's like, well, why? That's like apples and oranges because, and I hate to use that analogy, but look, we're talking about people who are sworn to protect and serve us. That nigga on the corner, that person on the corner is not working for your municipality. You're not, your house, I'm a homeowner. I fucking pay taxes. I'm paying this motherfucker to persecute me. I'm not paying that dude down the street.
No. No, you're not.
There's a huge difference. So all you folks out there, when you hear your relatives bring that shit up, remind them. Remind them about that. That we're talking about people who are sworn to tell the truth always and to be above. See, that's the thing with law enforcement. We're asking a lot of really unexceptional people to do an exceptional job. And it takes an exceptional person not to bring your biases to work. It's easy. It's easy to bring your biases. That's easy. That's like eating a piece of cheesecake. I'll do that in a minute. Wake me up at night. Cheesecake? Okay. Come on. That's easy. We can't keep doing that. And that guy Vance, I was on board with him. The hillbilly dude who went to law school, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was willing to listen to him. I was listening to him for a while when he was doing his book tour. Then I saw a long-form interview with him on Book TV. And who is he palling around with? This fucking pseudoscience asshole, Charles Murray, from Murray and Herrenstein, the bell curve.
You betcha. Eugenics.
And I remember.
Social Darwinism.
Man, what the fuck?
And I hate that term, social Darwinism, by the way.
Well, why do you hate it?
Because it has nothing to do with Darwin's theory of natural selection.
I'm glad you expressed your opinion. And I'm glad, because I do. What would be a good alternative?
White supremacy.
Damn. Yeah, but I mean, how many times can I say that? I mean, you can't keep saying wolf, man. Okay, but...
I mean, there's just a hell of a lot more of them than a lot of people are willing to credit their being. No, there's not a lot of people going to Klan rallies and burning crosses anymore. But the attitudes remain.
Bob, if you could see my face right now, man, I get big-ass, cat grin. I mean, seriously, You can pull it up on C-SPAN, because I don't, well, you might need a password, I don't know. But, oh my God, when Murray is sitting next to this guy, man, and he's just like, Jesus, this dude is so happy. He's like, yeah, you see, it's something, you can see in his face. It's like there's something inherently wrong with the darker people, because, you know, these two groups, you know, that's what social scientists do. They're like, well, these two subsets.
Well, I mean, goddamn, it's Beano Cook, and it's, who was that odds maker? Jimmy the Greek. I mean, it's not like this is new, and it perpetuates, yea, verily, generation unto generation. Because great-grandpappies tell grandpappies, tell pappies, tell little grandsons, and that's why it doesn't die out. I mean, goddamn, can we at least get it through our thick liberal skulls that it has that it's not gotten better? That we were deluding ourselves from the side, you know, from the moment in Neshoba County, Mississippi, when Ronald Reagan dog whistled to the goddamn Klan, to now, it ain't getting better.
No.
And as long as we keep persisting in this notion that, well, you know, they're not all like that. Well, shit, not everybody was a goddamn death camp guard in Germany either. But they sure as shit went along with it, didn't they?
Man, look, we're for some shit. This shit gets worse. I know people who cannot look at the news anymore. I mean, they just really will have to go through the mental ward, because it's just too much. You know? And see, this Vance dude, though, this one gets on my nerves. Like I said, I was listening to him. I'm like, okay, man, great. You got out of your circumstance. You had all this stuff going on around you. Like, so what? Everybody does. But what he fails to realize is that when you live in a city and you live in a primarily black neighborhood, see, I'm just a system. That's why they call it institutional racism. And see, remember, Trump is guilty of redlining. And they're like, oh, I can't call anyone. Well, he's not racist. Yeah, his fucking daddy was racist. That's how they got a goddamn contract to build projects, and they wouldn't fucking rent to Puerto Ricans and blacks with government money. Then when they got their money, they still wouldn't rent to fucking black, and they went to court, and it was like, I'll settle out of court. You know, fine, whatever. You're still doing that shit. That shit has an impact. Because just like my parents, they couldn't get the house they wanted. I had to drive by there. I was looking at these houses right across the avenue. I'm like, oh, that house is all stone, and the only part of our house is stone. That's a nice house. You know, I never knew that would hurt my parents, you know, but I would say that shit. And then when I got older, like, yeah, that's the house. The house I was pointing at was the house that they fucking wanted to buy. But the motherfuckers wouldn't give them a loan.
Jesus. It's real.
So all this shit is fucking connected. And remember, you don't know this shit, but let me tell you, there are three, four, just too many to count. You know, I have at least four retired emeritus professors in my goddamn immediate family. Immediate. I've seen how it goes. That's a lot of power tricking to go on to get emeritus. I mean, that's a big deal. You get an office for life, and at the university, you know, when you just walk in and just everybody kisses you, you know, it's nice. But to do that, you got to kiss a lot of, you got to go through a lot of shit. And then you still don't get respect. I have to wear a tie when I ride around now, because these motherfuckers don't give me no goddamn respect. I can't wear my holy Levi's. You know what I'm saying? I can't do that. I would like to. But this Vance dude, what he fails to recognize, because his big point is like, well, I married the woman I loved, and we had kids, and we stayed together. You know, fine. That sounds nice. Guess what? Your community is different. Your community does not get policed like other people's communities. Because, see, I know. I remember moving to the suburbs. And, you know, that 70s show? That shit's fucking real. That's what it was like when I moved out to the suburbs. Because you do your dirt in the basement. and your parents look the other way. Everybody looks the other way. It's just like that. But when you live in the city where it's concentrated, you're outside. And there's more police. And that's all it takes. It's like a binary system. Left, right, left, right.
You you just got a note in from Jen in Australia, Todd. She said, I'll say it again. Milton Meyer, They Thought They Were Free, Chapter 13. Tell Todd, our reader in chief, if he hasn't read it already, I'll send him my copy with love.
That's sweet. I like that.
So, I mean, if she's not kidding. She will stick it in the mail from Australia, and you will see it in South Carolina, Stan.
That's a beautiful thing.
So email me your mailing addy, and I'll give it to Jen.
I'll do that. Because you know what? Coalition building. Because you know what? This is it, man. We have to stick together. We can work on all the little idiosyncrasies, all that's ancillary. This is deep shit. Look at what this moron is doing. He's going to destroy the goddamn world.
The idea of doing it doesn't seem to bother him much. It's like that tweet that came out where he said, "Can't believe I'm getting so much shit for taking a phone call from Taiwan." And somebody tweeted back at him and said, "Yeah, it's amazing how this whole government and policy thing is so complicated. You might want to read up on it before you get us all fucking killed."
Bob, when he said he doesn't read, you know what? Like you said weeks ago, believe what they said. He said he didn't read. He said, "Oh, I just watch TV." He's an internet troll, and he's a Fox News consumer, and you can tell he likes Bill O'Reilly. I mean, this stuff is serious. He's the foie gras fascist. And then when he blows himself up from his hubris and good living and good eating and whatnot, because he feels so good about himself, then we got Pence.
Yeah, who, by the way, let's not forget, we're running out of time, but there's one very tiny little fact that's worth paying attention to. This whole thing is the triumph of right-wing radio. Mike Pence does not become governor of Talibandiana. Mike Pence does not even become a member of the House of Representatives unless Mike Pence is first a right-wing hate radio jock. That's how he got known.
I heard that. I didn't know that was true. I heard that.
You know, his special advisor or whatever, Bannon, comes out of, you know, right-wing hate media. There's a bunch of them boiling around there. I'm surprised he hasn't found a job for Alan Keyes or something yet. Yeah, but Jesus, we got it. Todd,
you know, I know you got to go, but you know, and people, look, he puts the nigger in charge of HUD. How fucking racist is that? Oh, who do I know who's black who's educated? Oh, inner city, black guy. Oh, let me put him in charge. This dude is ridiculous. You know, we thought he was smart. This dude is dumb as a fucking rock.
Yeah, he is. I personally think that there's some sort of disease process going on in his brain.
Spirochetes.
Crawling little bastards. Todd, we got to get out of here, brother.
All right.
Later now.
All right.
Bye. Our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Yeah, time to go. Prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow. And we've still got to deal with, by the way, we've still got to deal with the Joe McKnight case, the Joe McKnight story. We've still got to deal with Jefferson Parish Sheriff Newell Normand, but we can't do it now. So we'll do it later. Thanks, everybody, for joining in this evening. Thank you very, very kindly. Thanks to all our contributors. Hopefully we'll get, you know, we'll keep at it tomorrow. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.